Welcome to Harvest Amarillo Podcast. We're excited you have chosen to listen in today. May God encourage you through this message to live a life of value, of fullness, and fruitfulness for His kingdom. Well, here we go. Going to be preaching a message here on the importance of mission. You know, when you're off of mission, when you no longer have a mission in front of you, you become vulnerable to all kinds of things. And so one of the greatest things we can do entering into the new year is to set forth goals. Now, goals are no good unless you have strategies to obtain those goals. So as you write down 3 or 4 goals, maybe 10, I don't know how ambitious you are, maybe you start this year with 1, make sure that you write down strategies of how you're going to obtain those goals, because I've counseled over the last 20 years many, many people, and they can tell me their goals, but they have no strategies to obtain their goals. So today, you know what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about how staying on point, staying on mission, helps keep us fruitful in this life for Jesus and His mission and His calling for each and every one of us. I want to say a couple of things this morning. The first thing I want to say is, hey, thank you, Brett, for last week's message, incredible message about setting the table. Now, he didn't tell you this. Did all of you, those of you who were here, did you see the big table that was up here on stage? Yeah, Brett made that. He built it. He just wouldn't want you to know that. He's extremely talented in so many areas. You know, he follows Jesus, so naturally he's a carpenter. And you may say, who do you follow? I don't know. I was welding most of the day yesterday, so I don't know who did that back in Jesus's day. But I will say, thank you. That's an excellent message on the table. Go and listen to that message if you weren't here last week. I want to say welcome home to our skiers, our youth group, those of you who went on the ski trip. I was intending on being there. Something came up. I wasn't able to go, but just wait till you see me. That's all I'm saying. All right, we got to stay on mission here. 2019. It's going to be a wonderful year. There's a lot of things that God wants to unpack in each one of our lives, and He wants to unpack in our lives as we congregate together, as we are the body of Christ for this world expressed. Lots of mission before us. And as we have been working through the calendar for 2019, one of the things we're noticing already is there just isn't enough time in the day, much less in the year, to get it all done. Look, many of you have made resolutions for 2019. Maybe some of you haven't, but I'm going to help you with a couple of things for this next year. Maybe a couple of resolutions, maybe a couple of mission statements for yourself. Because if you get off of mission, here's what happens. You stand at risk. And most people who are not, listen, this is the tension part of the message. Most people who are no longer on mission become offended. That's Satan's trap out there if you get off mission. Look, why can't a blonde dial 911? Yeah, she can't find the 11. That's right. That's just a blonde joke. I got some religious jokes in here. A Jew, a Christian, and a Muslim walk into a bar. Okay, I won't finish that one. You didn't seem interested. Political joke. A Republican and a Democrat die in a car wreck. What about this one, relational, since you're not interested? Your mom is so fat. So here's the thing. Jesus warned that as we get off of mission, offenses will come. And most of you didn't realize that they would come from me this morning. Now I've offended everyone, so let's get started. We've got to learn to walk out our mission. One of the things that I wrote down in my journal years ago is the we is greater than me. I try to pay attention to the songs that we sing, making sure that we're not singing more about me and how blessed I am and how wonderful God's blessing is on me and me and me and me. It's really on us, the body of Christ. The we is greater than me, or He is greater than me for sure. And as you grow in ministry, and most importantly, your relationship with Jesus, things begin to look different. The mission becomes more important than ourselves. We are not that easily offended. And if we are, it's usually because of the lack of mission or the lack of vision in our lives. Listen to me. The more we become offended, it is usually from a lack of mission or a lack of vision or a lack of both within our lives. And as we enter into 2019, you make your resolutions, be aware something is out there to deter you from your goals. Now, we like to say that it's Satan. Listen, if Satan is out there to deter you from your goals, you are a VIP, a very important person, because I've said this many times, Satan is not omnipresent, only God is omnipresent. And Satan is not omniscient, God is only the omniscient one. And so here's the thing. Now, Satan has demonic activities. He's got demons. He's got other things. And this world is full of troubles. Jesus warns about those troubles. And sometimes many of us create our own troubles. I know of people who start fires just so they can walk in one. They think they're going to come out refined. Instead, they come out burned and on fire and starting and lighting other people up and burning them. They're getting off of mission. Had a perfect opportunity to get offended. This Allison woke me up at 4 in the morning and said, I read this. This is directed towards you. Oh, my gosh. And I was like, I'm glad you don't see my emails, girl. I'm a pastor. Everything's directed at me. I just can't get offended. If I get offended, I get off mission. If I get off mission, I'm vulnerable. And if I become vulnerable, we're all vulnerable in many areas. Matthew 18:7 says this, woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes. Look, if you are a carrier of offense, this is what God says to you, woe. If you've ever rode a horse or ridden a horse, you know that that's a very important word, woe. It means stop. It means quit it. Quit carrying it. Quit developing it. It's like a pyromaniac. They can't help but light a fire. Jesus gives a great warning to those who continue to offend others. In Luke's gospel, Jesus says it this way, it would be better for him to have a millstone hung around his neck and be thrown into the sea. Now, if that's a small millstone that you wear as a necklace, you might be able to swim out, but I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about, hey, this is a danger. A carrier of a stumbling block, an offense, is one who keeps others or attempts to keep others from reaching their destination in life. If we're not careful, we'll infect other people with our own offenses, even if they don't make sense. We'll learn to pick up other people's offenses. Well, he said, she said about so-and-so. Well, you know what? I don't like what he said, she said about so-and-so. And all of a sudden, we're off mission. See, even when they're not offended, sometimes we get offended for others. Sometimes we're the worst enemies. We're called mission hacks. In the army, someone who was in opposition to the mission was known as the enemy. I remember, hadn't been that long ago, when we refused to identify the enemy. It wasn't politically correct. Well, look, when you identify the enemy, you know what you're shooting at. And the enemy has tactics, he has tricks, and one of those is called an offense. And if we know that, then we pray against those, against the offenses, not against the people. Just because someone tells you the truth, listen, is no reason to get offended with them. You just didn't want to hear it. That's just a simple truth. Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 6. We have a mission that requires unity. When we are offended, it is impossible for us to walk in unity. If I'm offended with my wife, Allison, guess what? We're probably not walking in unity that day, right? Y'all don't sit by me in the truck. We don't do that anymore because we have to wear seatbelts. But back in the day when you dated someone, they slid over up next to you in the pickup, and that meant I like him. And if y'all were offended with one another, they were on the other end of the pickup. But today, since the seatbelt rule, you don't do that. Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 6. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. See, our resilience to offenses must be focused on that we are called to unity. See, what the world doesn't see today, whether you wear red, whether you wear blue, talking about the political situation. Maybe you don't wear either color. You know, I've said this. I don't know that Jesus is going to come riding back on a donkey or an elephant. I hadn't read that one, okay? I've heard him coming back on a white horse, and I've read that. But here's the thing. If we're not careful, the world will not see Christians as any different. They won't see unity that brings hope, that shows that we're of one faith, that we're in one baptism. In 2019, I believe that should be one of our goals. It should be our resolution to serve a mission greater than ourselves. What does that look like for you? We must minister, learn to minister from the good cheek, not the cheek that's been slapped several times. Right? It's hard to minister from that one. We shouldn't try to minister from a wound. So many of us, misery loves company. And so we're wounded, and what we want to do is sit down and gain advice from someone who's in that same wound. It's dangerous. Love is the greatest symptom of Christian maturity and discipleship. Love is. It's ministering from the good cheek. See, I won't die for someone I don't love. This is why Jesus said, greater love hath no man that he would lay his life down for who? He didn't even say his brother. He does, in one translation, but he says his friend. He said, you need to love others more than you love yourself. That's maturity in Christianity. Greater love hath no man. See, the more we train in love, when it's peacetime, the less we'll bleed in war. When we learn to read the Word, to study, to befriend someone, invite someone over, to learn to live our life as the gospel stakes out, then what happens is it keeps us on mission and we're less apt to be offended. See, if offenses are bound to come, then we need to talk about how do we prevent that. Well, we first need to see that the mission must be bigger than you. The mission must be bigger than myself. The scripture says in Proverbs 29:18, Solomon wrote, where there is no vision, where there is no mission, the people perish. In another translation, it says this, that the people cast off restraint. If you want to go political for just a minute, even if you don't, we'll take that side stream for just a moment. But if we don't keep mission in front of us, the people will perish. We'll perish. It's that way in anything. It's that way in our life. When we get distracted with sin, there's someone who's going to perish. When the irresponsible, whether you want to call them Generation Xers, Generation Zers, the Millennials, the safe spaces, those who feel entitled from the time they're five, right? Here's the problem. When someone else is irresponsible, that means that someone has to be responsible for their irresponsibility. If someone takes on a sin that encompasses those closest around them and it just keeps going further and further out, here's what happens. Someone has to step in and be responsible for that. And you say, well, pornography never hurt anyone. Really? It's destroyed marriages. It goes out further and further, those rings. Well, there's a lot of hidden sins, Curtis. If you lie, no, somebody's going to one day have to tell the truth. There's always someone that has to be responsible for those who are irresponsible in ways. So we have to keep mission or else we'll perish. John Maxwell states, you've got to love people more than your position. You've got to love people more than your positions. Courageous people are people of vision. That's it. They keep the end in mind. The opposite of being courageous is this, being a coward. We live in a cowardly time. Many young men fight wars every day, but they never get off the couch. Figure that one out. Many are so inwardly focused, they would never lay their life down for anyone or anything except for themselves. Revelation chapter 21 verse 8 says, but as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. You know, it's interesting. I mean, we don't preach hell anymore. Back in the 50s, hellfire and brimstone got people to church. But now, I was even accused this week of sending someone to hell. I said, I'm not that powerful. I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's it, but so are you. I don't sin. There's only one judge, right? But here's the thing. As for the cowardly, it bothers me that cowardly is in this list. I mean, we can all talk about the faithless, the detestable, for murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, liars. We can all say, hey, yeah, I mean, that's a bad list. That's and but the cowardly. All my life, I've always been a little bit susceptible to being a coward. I'm just being honest with you. There have been times that I knew that if I get in this fight, I'm probably not going to win. Obviously, I haven't. Well, I've won most. I mean, you know what it is. Have you ever awakened at night and heard rattling at the door and said, what do I do? I remember one night, Allison wakes me up and says, you hear that? Yeah. Are you going to get up and do something? I don't know. I'm thinking about it. I hadn't quite made that decision in my life yet, right? It scares me because cowards are found in this list. Cowards are people who do not have mission in mind before them. The reason why you train for battle, the reason why you read the Word, the reason why we pray, the reason why we fast, the reason why we live our lives for Christ, it's positioning us during this time of peace, if you will, because as I've said before, either a storm is coming, you're currently in a storm, or you're just coming out of one. That's life. That's life, and so we prepare during the peace time. The more you prepare in peace, the less you bleed in war. It's just the way it works. It takes a mission-minded person, a person with vision before them who can see beyond the wound. Yeah, this season's a difficult season. This is a tough time in my life, but I've got to remember what Jesus told the disciples. You remember the disciples went to wake Jesus up in the stern of the boat. He was asleep in the midst of the storm. They woke him up, and some of us feel like Jesus has been asleep in our storm. But he hasn't. You've got to remember what Jesus told the disciples. Let's go to the other side. He didn't say there wouldn't be waves. He didn't say there wouldn't be wind. He didn't say there wouldn't be a huge storm. This is what he said. His promise was, we'll make it to the other side. His promise in Matthew chapter 28 is the same. To go and make disciples, he gives us a mission. Keep that in mind. There's you a focal point. Go and make disciples. Teaching them all that I have commanded, all my ways, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then he says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We've got to remember the promise in the season. You've got to, or else you'll lose mission and you'll become vulnerable. I would say this, that cowards are not people who have forethought. Cowards are reactionists instead of proactive. We'll react to the situation. We'll react to the day as the day comes along instead of being proactive for the day. Being proactive, being set out on mission. You see, when you're proactive, many times you don't have to worry about the things of the world because you're already prepared. You have the shoes of the gospel, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, and the helmet of salvation preparing you. And the Parakletos, which is a promise that we'll have the Holy Spirit with us at all times, protecting us, going with us, encouraging us. So if I were going to apply this message this morning, I would say the first thing I would want to do is pursue mission. Because the pursuit of mission begins by winning an inward battle. When I think about inner battles that we have to win, we don't win those on our own. I want you to hear something this morning, church. Lone wolves starve. It's what happens to them. We all want to do it ourselves. We've been taught to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps, but we got to go into this together. We learn from people who have gone on before and are victors themselves. They've made it to the other side in a difficult season, and we see that. Go and find those mentors in your life who can help protect the mission that you're called to, help you win an inward battle. Learn to love God and to love His people. A father will do battle for his wife and children. It's what we do. Love will overcome our fear. I think back years ago when I first got out of the Army, I had been deer hunting. I came into my apartment one night, and at that time I was living in hut housing. If you don't know, it's not the nicest place to live. It's for those who are broke in a difficult season in their life, and God showed me so much during that time. But as I was there, I'd been deer hunting one night. I came in late. I propped my rifle up against my dresser, and I sat down in my bed and I began to study. And all of a sudden, the window broke out right in my kitchen. It just, and you've probably heard, maybe you've heard me tell this story before, but I was like, holy cow, somebody's breaking in. This is really happening. And I got up and I thought, what a terrible time to break in. My 243 is still loaded. So as I walked by it, I just go to reach for it, and I could not grab it. And I just stood there staring at it, and I could hear the glass pieces falling in. And I was like, man, they're coming in. I just really need to grab this. But I could not grab it. So then I get on my hands and knees. Probably shouldn't tell you the rest of the story. I don't crawl to hide. I actually crawl down the hallway. I put my back up against the wall in the kitchen, and the kitchen's on the other side, and I'm waiting for them to walk around, and my goal is to grab them and choke them out as quickly as possible. I won't kill them. I couldn't kill anyone for the sake of me. I couldn't pick them up. A few years later, I'm married. And by the way, that was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and some kids from the road shot, I guess, out of the back of a pickup with a water balloon launcher, a water balloon that busted out that window. There was no one in my place. Bless God. I may not be here preaching today, but anyway. And then a few years later, I hear someone kicking in the back door, and that's Allison's like, what are you going to do? And it's like, oh my gosh. And so I get my 357, and she's like, ah, and I'm in my drawers. But I'm going. And I go to that door and I said, look, you better stop because I'm about to swing this open. I've got a gun and I will use it. And Allison's hiding behind the bed in the other room, you know. But now I had something worth fighting for. I had a mission. I had a marriage. I was going to have kids one day. Sheriff showed up at my house not long ago, knocked on my door about 2 in the morning. And I'm like, nobody comes out here and knocks on my door. So I actually do put I have my pajamas on, but I put my 9 in the back of them, you know, and it's like pull them down. I'm like gangster walking to the door. And he's out there with a flashlight shining it on himself. And I open the door and said, what is it? He said, sir, I'd like to talk to you for just a minute. So I step out and on my front porch, I have a little table over there where I don't know why. We never go out that door anyway, but it's out there, you know. And I said, sir, hang on just a minute. And I pull that 9 out and I set it on the table. And I said, I just don't want you to get nervous. You know, plus it's pulling my pants down. And he's like, I thought you might have one out here. You know, that's why I was shining the flashlight on me anyway. Somebody had knocked my mailbox over, that's all. But here's the thing. People who are on mission, who are proactive in their mission, are less vulnerable, far less vulnerable to being called out. They're progressive in the way they think. They know what it means to love God, to love people. Love overcomes our fears. It overcomes our cowardice. Second thing I would say is learn to pursue the mission because it's contagious. I'm not the one that thought of that. Billy Graham thought of that. But this is exactly what he says. Learn to pursue the mission because it becomes contagious. Others will see it and grab a hold of it. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of other men are stiffened. When a brave man or woman takes a stand for what is right. Years ago, my niece sent me a message and said, Curtis, I need some advice. And I remember this came to me, and I wrote it down, and I memorized it for myself. I said, stand for what is right. Oppose what is wrong, but remember to offer grace because we're all broken in areas. Take a stand because as you do, it stiffens the spines of others. David, when he defeated Goliath, you remember what the army did? It charged the Philistines. All of a sudden, these guys who had stood out there for 40 days listening to this Philistine who was defying the armies of the living God is what the scripture says. The minute David steps out there and slings that stone, it's an incredible story about how their spines, the Israelites, were stiffened and they pursued. Know this, the third point, pursuit of the mission is courageous. If you're worried about being a coward this morning, set mission in front of you. Whatever that mission looks like, learn to love someone more than yourself. Learn to do these things because as we do that, courage becomes the fear that has said its prayers. It is prepared and we're ready to go. You'll learn to pray for your enemies. You'll learn to pray for those who persecute you so you won't be offended. A good friend of mine some years ago told me, he said, Curtis, when I see someone else's sin, it reminds me to repent myself. I thought, wow, that's powerful. It reminds us that we all have some form, some type of brokenness. Don't lose hope. Continue on the mission because as you do, you become more and more courageous. Fourth point. You may wonder how many points. Have courage, my friends. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. John Newman, a British theologian, said this, fear not that your life will come to an end, but that it will never have a beginning. Fear not that your life may come to an end, but rather fear that it will never have a beginning. What's worth living for? What's worth dying for? For many of us, it's having peace in our homes. It's having peace in our sound booth. It's knowing what's worth it. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Those of us who don't walk in fear, but walk courageously, bring a peace to others. I was in North Africa, 99.9% Muslim country on the border of another country in the northern Sahara Desert. And I remember praying to God, God, I need a peace because I'm nervous. This deal's getting hot out here in many ways. And I remember the Lord just showing me Psalm 91 and realizing that now that I have peace, it's like peace came over the team. All six of us could walk in peace. See, the only time I've really been severely depressed in my life is when I got out of the military. I felt like I didn't have a mission before me anymore. It hadn't gone the way I had hoped it would go. I was back in college. Everything offended me. I was off of mission. I remember college kids walking on the grass, and I just wanted to reach over and grab them and say, get off that grass. Who do you think you are? I remember professors getting to class late, driving me crazy. I remember some of them getting to class so late that we would have a walk. It felt very undisciplined, non-caring. I saw kids partying, being happy, baggy pant wearing, long-haired, earring wearing. That may be you out there today. You don't offend me anymore. I needed prayer. I was getting off mission, and because of that, I was starting to get offended. I wasn't originally in community, but let me defend the church in every aspect here. The church will be there for you when someone dies. The world won't. The church will be there for you when someone's in pain, when someone's in agony, when someone is celebrating the birth of a child. The church will be there. I learned years ago, even while I was in the military, there was one place where I met peacemakers, and that was in the church. And God, anywhere He placed me, showed me there is a family there for you, waiting for you, to love you, to embrace you, to encourage you. They're not offended people. Remember years ago when all this was unpacking in my life, I got a phone call from a study partner in my physics class. She invited me to go on a mission trip, and that mission trip changed my life. It changed, in many ways, my call. I was planning on just going back in the Army, but it changed everything. And from there, I would return to the only place peace is given, Jesus and His people, the body of Christ. Now look, my fifth and final point for the morning. We're 30 minutes in. I'm doing great. We are called not just to pray for peace, but to bring peace to a broken world. And that happens through focusing on the mission. It brings us into unity. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Let me ask you, who and what are you willing to give your life for? What does that look like in your life? Are you able to get up in the mornings and say, I have a purpose for this day? God is looking for us to walk this out in and with Him. He's looking for us to focus on the mission that He gave us in Matthew 28:19, to go into all the world and make disciples. The good thing about that is you'll never outlive it. You may outlive seasons of it. Your season may look different from going down and feeding the homeless. I mean, especially if you can't walk to get there or if it's on level ground. But it doesn't mean that we're done making disciples, being examples, being the body of Christ to others outside of this place. Learning what it means to be a son or a daughter of God. Be courageous and keep the mission in front of you, because it will keep mission accomplishment in your life. You will be fruitful. More importantly, we will be fruitful. There is one body, one church, one Spirit. And I'm going to tell you, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And all of those are worth fighting for. And we've got to win this inner struggle and saying, yes, this is who I am. And this is who I'm going to be for the year 2019. It's truly going to be the year of my Lord in my life. And as we win that fight, you'll learn that victory becomes generational. Not only will you have it for you, you'll have it and win it for the next generation.